for. It doesn't take you very long looking around to find out that you're blessed. Amen. To find out that there's always somebody that maybe is in worse shape than you that is struggling. Hallelujah. And maybe you're there in that place. Maybe you are struggling. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, the best way to bring you out of that place is a heart of thanksgiving. Amen. A heart of thankfulness. And I say all the time, you can't complain and worship at the same time. You can't whine and praise at the same time. So you're going to have to pick which one you want to do. Amen. But I will tell you that praise and worship will get you a whole lot farther than whining and complaining. Amen. And sometimes we feel justified in it. You know, we're struggling. I mean, sometimes you're struggling. Hallelujah. And there's things that we don't understand or things that we don't, we don't see the end of. But God does. And aren't you glad that we serve a great big God, that it's not dependent on what I do? It's not dependent on how I feel. And let me just give you a news flash this morning. It's not even dependent on your faith. Amen? We got to have to have faith. But how many know it's dependent on what he did on the cross and my faith in that, of what Jesus did for me on the cross? Hallelujah. It's not that one has bigger faith than somebody else and that you got more faith than me, that's why you get healed or I don't get it. I don't believe it's about the measure of faith that we think we have that can move God. Amen? It's about, he said, I've given to every man, the scripture says, he's given to every man the measure of faith. You've been given the measure of faith. An adequate measure of faith. Hallelujah. And I believe we have to put our faith in action. I believe faith without works, is dead. I believe that we activate faith. But I don't even believe that a lot of the things that we think are contingent on my ability to believe. Amen. There's a man came to Jesus and he said, his son was tormented and he needed help. And he said, if you can believe, he can be made whole. And the man's response to him was, Lord, I believe. Help now my unbelief. It's not my belief system. Most of the time it's messed up. It's my unbelief. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. If you can just believe, can you believe in here this morning? Anybody believe in God for something? We can just say, Lord, I believe you. I don't know how it can happen. I don't know how it's going to come to pass. I don't know how it's worth, but I believe. I believe. You know, there's signs out this time of year all over the place about believe, and most of them are talking about believing Santa Claus, but hallelujah. I mean, I believe, I have a belief system. And I believe God's grace is sufficient. I believe his healing was paid for on Calvary, just like my salvation was paid for on Calvary. I believe that. Hallelujah. There are times in my life where I have to say, Lord, help my unbelief, because it's not my belief system I'm struggling with. Sometimes unbelief creeps in. He said, if you can just believe, he can be made whole. And how many know Jesus made that young man whole from the selfsame hour, the scripture says? Hallelujah. So if you want to believe in something, it's probably not the little man in the red suit. Hallelujah. You're going to have to believe in a baby in a manger 2,000 years ago that came in a king-size bed. Hallelujah. That came in a king-size bed that I could have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. From the Christmas season of December until the Easter season of in the spring, I think it's one of the most precious times of year. We hear the Christmas story, but it's not just about the babe who came in the manger. It's how many know he came to die, to give his life, and not just to die, but to be buried. And not just to be buried, but to be resurrected. And not just to be resurrected, but he said, the scripture says he sits on the right hand of the Father to see to it that I get everything that he paid the ultimate price for this morning. I'm so thankful that I know the King who came in a manger. I'm so thankful that I know the King that was on Calvary. And I'm also thankful that I know the King who sits on high. Hallelujah. And that we have his favor this morning. Hallelujah. Some of the most precious scriptures and stories, I believe, probably in the Bible, some of my most, I guess, precious or favorite are the stories of what we call the nativity or the birth of the Savior. And my struggle when I'm trying to teach this time of year is to which one to pick and which one to go with without telling you everything all in one kind of sermon. But on Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about in our Bible study that when Jesus was sent to earth, when this time of year, or what we call this time, we don't even know that it was this time of year, but we're going to celebrate the coming of the Savior. Amen. Don't worry about matter about the day or the hour. Hallelujah. But how many know from the book of the very last word in the book of Malachi? Does anybody know what the last word of the book of the Old Testament is? Anybody know what the last word of the last book of the Old Testament is? Nope, not amen. It's book of Malachi. The last word is curse. Lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. But Malachi begins to prophesy of one who is to come. And he begins to say a word and declare that one is to come. Now, how many know there was about a 400-year span of a dark time or a dark season where there was no open vision, there was no spoken prophetic word, there was a period of darkness there where didn't seem like God was saying anything. Anybody ever been in a season of your life where it seems like God's not saying anything? Hallelujah. And I've said this before, 4 days is a long time. 4 months is a long time. But 400 years is a very long time. How many know from the time of the prophet Isaiah, when he began to prophesy, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. And he began to prophesy about the coming Messiah. It was 700 years before the manifestation of that prophecy came to pass. And before he looked over the portals of heaven and says, I knew I wasn't a false prophet. I knew God meant what he said when he said he was going to send a baby. He was going to send the Messiah. He was going to send the Emmanuel, God with us. So we have a long span and a period of time where it don't seem like God's talking, seem like the heavens are closed up, seems like nothing's happening, seems like perhaps maybe God has forgotten or forsaken his people. How many know God never forgets? He doesn't forget a promise. Hallelujah. Now, he doesn't remember all things, but he never forgets. What I mean by saying that is he says in the scriptures, as far as the east is from the west, what? I will remember your sins no more. Hallelujah. And so there's a long period of time where it seems like where we don't hear from heaven. Seems like nothing much has happened. Seems like lots of prayers have gone up, but nothing's happening. In Galatians 4:4-5, if you have that in your Bible, turn there with me this morning. Galatians 4, it says, Galatians 4 and verse 4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Do we have any sons in here today? Hallelujah. If you are a son, you are indeed an heir according to his promise. But the scripture says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Everybody say fullness of time. When the fullness of time had come. How many know God was right on time? At the fullness of time. That means appointed time or a time without delay. Now, if you had been living in this season or in this time, you may have thought that this was a season of delay or a season where it didn't seem like God was doing anything. But the scripture in Galatians says, but at the fullness of time, at the appointed time, at the time when God had designed, God sent forth his Son. Hallelujah. It was at the appointed time. It wasn't a plan B program that God's thinking, man, we're going to have to do something down there. Yeah. See, I hear people saying all the time, man, things are getting really so bad and things is looking ugly and God's going to have to do something. Can I just tell you this morning that God's not moved by what we see in an earthly realm? That God is moved by what he knows of in the heavens to be set in a season of time and a place that it's not according to, what we see. We think that chaos moves God. How many know there's been chaos since the beginning of time? God's not necessarily moved by your chaos. But at the appointed season, at the appointed time, at the time that God had designed, he sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law or under the curse. Hallelujah. How many know he came as a babe in a manger? He came as you and I. He came as every other little Jewish boy in that city or in that area, born under the law, born of a woman, that he might redeem those who were born under the law or under the curse. The only difference is the Holy Ghost factor. Amen. He's overshadowed. Mary's overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Never underestimate the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Hallelujah. We look around, we look at situations sometimes, and we seem to think, Lord, it looks hopeless, it looks lost, it looks as if things are not working according to your plan. And my thought to you is never underestimate the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? The power of the Holy Ghost to overshadow you and to bring about God's perfect will in your life in the season that God designs. Now I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 1. This morning and start about verse 26. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 we talked about this before. Luke writes the story from the version more of a Gentile point of view. A lowly, humble beginning, a humble stable. Matthew writes it more from the kingly line, the seed of David, the wise men, the royal regal visitors that come. Luke, you see the lowly shepherds who come to visit the baby Jesus. And so we kind of have two different looks at the whole occasion of the birth of Jesus that takes place. And so we have in the book of Luke chapter 1, first of all, let me say, we said that at the appointed time when the fullness of time had come, historically in this time and season, they say it was a time when the Roman Empire was so expanding the road systems, the Greek language was more available and proficient and the translation of language. In other words, it was an opportune time to take the gospel or the message to the uttermost parts of the earth because of the road systems and things that the Romans had designed and orchestrated. It was the perfect time. It was the perfect season for God to come and to be born in a manger. And so when we look at in the book of Luke, chapter 1, we start out by seeing the man, the priest, Zechariah, and he's in the temple. And he's of the house of the Levitical priesthood. He's of the house of the priest. And it says that him and his wife are righteous. They're pious. They're good, God-fearing people. And yet they were barren. And they would actually cast lots so that the priest would get their chance to serve in the temple. And when they would get their chance to serve in the temple, they would serve for about a 2-week span. They would stay there and they would serve in the temple. And then they would go back home to their way. And that would be the one and only time that they would get the opportunity to serve in the holy place of the temple by the altar of incense and the candlestick and the table of showbread that was in the holy place. And so they would cast lots because by this time there were so many priests that not everybody had opportunity to serve there. And it's while Zechariah is there that he's offering the incense at the time of prayer. The people are outside in a season of prayer. Zechariah is in a season of prayer, and he's offering incense in the temple. And all of a sudden, he looks over, and standing off to the side of him, there's somebody else in the holy place. Now, you know from the history of teaching about the tabernacle, nobody else goes into the holy place except the priest. And only the high priest goes into the most holy place. And so when Zechariah looks over, he sees that the angel or the messenger of God is beside him. And not just any angel or any messenger, it's Gabriel himself. Stands and he begins to say to Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Now, Zechariah, like you and I, might say, wonder what prayers? Is it the prayers for the coming of the Messiah? Is it the prayers to have a baby? Is it the prayers for the people of Israel? What is the prayers that are about to be answered? But he goes on to say to them, and your wife, Elizabeth, she's going to conceive and have a baby. And it's not going to be just any baby, Zechariah. It seemed like your promise has delayed. It seems like things in your life were barren. It seems like things in your life were not working. It seems like you're past your time. Anybody in your life ever thought, maybe I've passed my moment. Maybe I've missed my destiny. Maybe I've missed what God designed for me, only to have the angel or messenger from God show up and say, Zechariah, I've heard every prayer you've ever prayed. No word you've ever prayed has fallen to the ground. And I want to tell you, Zechariah, if I'd have done it in your time frame, you'd have thought it was of your own strength and your own loins. But guess what, Zechariah? You're not going to produce what I've called to happen. I'm going to produce it. It's going to be outside the realm of your understanding, outside the realm of what you think is possible. And I'm about to do the impossible thing, because with God, all things are possible. And so he begins to say to Zechariah, your wife Sarah, she's going to have a baby. And Zechariah, like all of us in here probably, if we would be honest, would say, do you know Elizabeth? My wife Elizabeth, she's well stricken in age. She's beyond the moment of conception. She's missed her window of opportunity. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we look at people and we think maybe they've missed their window of opportunity. But can I tell you, when God wants to do something divine, it's not about what strength you can produce out of your own loins. It's merely the hand of God in the midst of circumstances that look like they're barren. He said, she's going to have a baby. And angel Gabriel says to Zechariah, see, I wasn't going to go through all this, but I will. Was said to Zechariah, and because you questioned, because you didn't believe, not because you questioned, but because you didn't believe, you're going to be speechless until this thing comes to pass. You're going to be silenced. Your voice of questioning, your voice of reasoning, your voice in trying to figure this out is going to be silenced. How many know God silenced the last of the old order prophets and priesthood in that tabernacle and temple and said, your voice shall be silenced until the time that this is done? And I don't necessarily even think it's just punishment to Zechariah for asking or not believing, but a sign to Zechariah to say, I don't know what happened in that holy place, but I've just had an encounter with God, and God is doing something bigger than I can explain, and it's just left me speechless. I don't know how to tell you about it. I don't know how to explain it, except I know it's a God thing, and when it's a God thing, I'm just going to trust God to perform what he said he would do. Somehow or another, after that two-week span, he goes home and lets Elizabeth know, you and I, we're going to have a baby. Hallelujah. Because with God, all things are possible. The scripture says that Elizabeth hides herself for 5 months before she ever even exposes it to family, to friends, to anybody. Now, here's the deal. You find out you're pregnant. My angel comes and tells you that you're pregnant. Do you tell everybody or do you not tell everybody if you're Elizabeth? Well, number one, what happens sometimes when you start sharing your dream, when you start sharing what you think God is doing, somebody always is a naysayer and says, no, you're not, crazy woman. What are you thinking? What makes you think? Now, listen, we didn't have the day where we had the little strip that you tested and where you went and had an ultrasound or they drew blood to tell you that you're pregnant. And guess what, guys? We're all adults here. Elizabeth's not even getting that visitor every month that she knows she's missed it. So how do you know you're going to have a baby other than you got a promise and you got a witness and you got a visitation that says, I'm going to bring it to pass? So she hides herself so nobody else can talk her out of what God wants to do. Sometimes the very best thing you got to do is go somewhere silent where nobody can talk you out of the promises of God in your life. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a lot of well-meaning people sometimes in our life say, you can't do that. You don't have money for that. You're not smart enough for that. You weren't called to that. God didn't purpose you for that. Sometimes you got to find a place where you don't hear all the voices of everybody else. But an angel appears to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Same angel. And what I love about this is every time this angel comes, he comes to them by saying, fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings. Fear not, Joseph, to take Mary to be your wife. Fear not, Zechariah. I'm Gabriel, the angel that stands before God. Fear not, Mary. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, we're in a fear not season. We are in a fear not season because fear will cripple your vision. Fear will keep you from the ultimate destiny of what God wants to do in you if you allow it. How many know sometimes you got to say to yourself, fear not. Hallelujah. Fear not. And all of them were facing circumstances that were out of the ordinary. He said, but don't be fearful. I got this. I want to tell you this morning, don't be fearful. God's got this. Hallelujah. And so he comes in Luke 1, 26 and says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I mean, no, at this time, Mary hasn't really accomplished that we know of anything too terrible much in her life. She's a young teenager. But the salutation from the Lord is, hail thou who art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. I want to tell you this morning, you are highly favored and the Lord is with you. You're in a good place. Yeah. Hallelujah. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. How many know that's good news? That's good stuff right there. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then she tells her something very important. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Hallelujah. And so he says, the angel says to her, not only what's going to happen to Mary, but he said, there's something miraculous also going on in Elizabeth. You know, your cousin Elizabeth, who's past the time of conception, they have labeled her barren. They have called her barren. She's going to have a baby. And this is a 6 month from her. And in my mind, here's what I'm thinking. I don't understand what God just said. I don't know how that works. I've heard the prophecies of Isaiah. I know that a virgin's going to conceive. And now the angel says it's me. I don't understand how all this works. I don't understand how it comes together. I don't understand how it happens. But somebody else has been hearing from God. I'm going to connect myself with somebody. I'm going to go to my cousin Elizabeth's house. I'm going to connect myself with somebody who's hearing the same thing from God that I'm hearing. Because when we come together, if God is speaking to Elizabeth, Elizabeth, and God is speaking to me, I'm going to find somebody of like faith. I'm going to find somebody who's believing for what I'm believing, and I'm going to connect myself with them because God is up to something big. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to even believe it. I don't even have to know how God's going to work it all out, but I'm going to find Elizabeth, and I'm going to find out what God's been saying to her, and we're going to get together. Hallelujah. Because when I hear that Elizabeth has had a visitation, guess what? It makes something happen inside of me that makes me believe that maybe this could be. Maybe it stirs up my faith. It stirs up my realm of thinking to think, I got to go find Elizabeth and see what God is saying to Elizabeth. Yeah. And says, and very first thing it says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And he entered into the house of Zechariah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted or greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, hallelujah. I mean, no, when Elizabeth, something about the sound of Mary's salutation, when she came into the house and greeted Elizabeth, caused the very babe that was in Elizabeth's womb to leap. Now, am I thinking, this is about the time when you're going to feel the baby move. Remember, ladies, about the time when you start feeling that motion or the baby starts to move. Up to this point, Elizabeth has had no real indication that she really might be pregnant other than maybe her robe isn't fitting quite as good. She might be getting a little bit of a belly bump. But up to this point, remember, we don't have ultrasounds. We don't have blood tests. We don't have any way for Elizabeth to know beyond a shadow of a doubt other than she knows in her heart what she believes. She feels like there's something happening inside of her. But at the sound of somebody else's salutation that believes God for the miraculous, all of a sudden something inside of her starts to stir and starts to move. And she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt now that at the sound of your salutation, Mary, something inside of me moved. Something inside of me came alive. Something inside of me quickened. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is up to something big. And only the mother of my Lord could have had such a response. Hallelujah. And Mary realizes there's something big happening between us, between Elizabeth and I. And here's what I love about this. Title of my sermon this morning is Bitter or Blessed. I mean, sometimes you got to decide what you want to be called. Elizabeth said, they've called me barren. When Zechariah came out of the temple after Elizabeth's baby was born, they wanted to call him Zechariah Jr. Or they wanted to call him after Zechariah's family. They wanted to name the baby. How many know you got to be careful who you let name your baby? You got to be careful what you let other people call your destiny, what you let other people call your blessings, what you let other people call what God is doing in you. Said Mary, it said, Elizabeth, they called me. Elizabeth says, they called me barren. But here's what Mary says. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth, all generations are going to call me blessed. They're not going to call me barren. They're not going to call me forsaken. They're not going to call me lowly. They're going to call me blessed. Hallelujah. How many know Mary at this time may not have understood whether this was a blessing or a cursing? It's going to mess up a whole lot of my plans. See, God's will in my life, when I said to him, Lord, be it unto me according to your word or according to your will, his will in my life is going to mess up my wedding plans. It's going to mess up my reputation. It's going to mess up what I had in mind to do. It's going to change things for me. But God must have something bigger and better in mind for me than what I even had in mind for myself. So I'm not going to let myself be called anything other than the blessed of the Lord. And all nations are going to call me blessed. See, when Mary goes to Bethlehem, she goes there being called blessed. There was another lady in the Old Testament that went back to Bethlehem. Her name was Naomi. She left the house of Bethlehem. She went down into a land called Moab that was full of idolatry. It was outside of the character of who she was. It was not who she was purposed or destined to be. And while she was there, she was widowed. Her sons died. She lost everything she had in Moab. And she came to herself and said, you know what? I'm going to get out of Moab. I mean, no, if it costs you more than you're willing to pay where you're at, it might be time for you to get out of Moab. She said, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. I'm going to go back to the house of bread. I'm going to go back to the house of provision. Mary went to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the house of praise. There's always something in Bethlehem, Judah for you. Moab has nothing for you. And Ruth said, I'm going to leave Moab. I'm going to come up out of Moab with you. Naomi said, but Ruth, I don't have anything left for you. I have no more sons in my womb. There is nothing left for me to give to you. Stay among your people. Orpah was going to come too. She gave him the same speech. Just stay where you are. I'm empty. I have nothing to give you. Ruth said, where you go, I'm going. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Where your people are going to be my people and your God, my God. If you're getting up out of Moab, I'm getting up out of Moab. Hallelujah. I mean, she came to the place, she said, I've had enough of Moab. And I've said this before, can I tell you, there is no book of Orpah. That's where the story ends, on Orpah. But Ruth goes back to the land of Naomi, where there was a redeemer who lived there. Aren't you glad that in Bethlehem we have a redeemer? That the ultimate redeemer came to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. When Naomi came back to Bethlehem, they said, hey, it's Naomi. Naomi is back. She said, no, don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. I mean, no, Naomi named herself bitter. They called her Naomi. She pronounced over herself bitterness. Don't call me blessed. Don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. Because the Lord has dealt severely with me, she says. But how many know you have a choice in Bethlehem? You can call yourself bitter or you can call yourself blessed. You don't have to understand it all. You don't have to grasp it all. But if you trust your Redeemer, you understand that in the house of the Redeemer, there's provision, there's bread, there's supply, there's provision. Not only did Ruth just get provided for, she found the love of her life. She found favor. She found redemption. She found everything she was looking for because somebody said, in Moab, all there is death, but in Bethlehem, there's bread, there's provision, and there's life. I mean, sometimes we got to make a choice whether we call ourselves bitter or blessed. Mary pronounced over herself, all nations shall call me blessed. I'm not going to call myself confused. I'm not going to call myself forsaken. I'm not going to call myself sick. I'm not going to call myself cursed. I'm not going to call myself lost. I'm going to call myself the blessed of the Lord because the angel says, I've got favor with God. Hallelujah. She says, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. From behold, from henceforth, all nations. Go ahead, nations. Just call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in his imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Hallelujah. From henceforth, all nations are going to call me blessed. You know, sometimes you have to make a conscious choice and how you respond to God's will and purpose in your life. Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." She asked him, "How can this be? Seeing that I know not a man." Aren't you glad that what's being done in the purpose and the provision and the will of God has nothing to do with man? It has everything to do with what God purposed. See, when your dependence is in man, you're going to get disappointed. When your dependence is on people's performance, you're going to get disappointed. But when your dependence is in what God can do in you, he never disappoints. At the fullness of time. Right on time. Hallelujah. Galatians said, at the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Hallelujah. So it may seem in our lives sometimes like God's promise delays. It may seem like things are being done that we don't understand. I mean, Mary didn't understand everything that was going to be required of her. Didn't understand. Joseph certainly didn't understand. But what I love about the whole story, God didn't just speak to Mary, but he went to Joseph in a dream and he said, "Joseph, don't be afraid. Fear not to take Mary to be your wife, for what is going to be conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to call his name Jesus, because he's going to be the Savior of the world." The Savior of the world. That's a lot of responsibility to raise the Son of God. You know, we look at that and think, wow, man, God chose Mary and she was just a young girl, and what a, you know, all nations are going to call me blessed. How many know there's a price to be paid? With that comes some willingness. With that comes laying aside your own desires sometimes and saying, "God, I'm not sure where this is going to take me, what this is going to cost me." But how many know she just simply said, "Be it unto me according to your will." Because ultimately when you find out, whatever's in his will is greater than anything that you ever had in mind. How many can say this morning that God's done things outside of the realm of what you thought possible, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's just God. Amen. That's just God. That's not even my own hand. You know, sometimes we take a lot of credit for where we are in our life or where we've gotten to or what we've accomplished. I'm here to tell you this morning, it is absolutely nothing but the hand of God and the provision of God in our lives. We are who we are by God's grace and his mercy and his blessings in our life. But never trade God's calling or purpose in your life for anything secondary, because those things are temporary. Mary said unto the angel, "Be it unto me according to your will, Lord." Whatever you have purposed for me, you go ahead and bring it to pass. And they said, there will be a performance of those things. God will perform what he said he would do in you and in your life if we just yield to him and say, "God, let your will be done in my life. Your purpose, your provision. Hallelujah. Call me, Lord. Cause me to be what you desire me to be." Every one of us have callings and purposes on our life. We say, "Oh, you know, that's only talking to preachers," or "That's only talking to missionaries," or "That's a..." Every one of us have a calling and a purpose on our life. Amen? It may be in your area of profession. It may be in music. It may be in another area of profession. It may be what you do on the sidelines. It may be whatever your giftings and callings are, that God wants to take what he's imparted to you, what he's blessed in you, and multiply that and increase that and use that as an instrument to touch the nations of the world. Mary said, this isn't just a community thing. This isn't just a local thing. This isn't just a minor thing. All nations are going to call me blessed. The nations of the earth are going to be touched by what God is doing right here in a little town called Nazareth. Can I tell you, the nations of the earth can be blessed by what God wants to do right here in a little town called Berkeley Springs and a little church called Word of Deliverance, if we'll just yield to Him and say, Lord, be it unto us according to Your word. Whatever Your purpose, whatever Your plan for us is, God, bring to pass the miraculous in this day, in this season. And then Mary's response to what God spoke in her life was, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And let me read it there. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations are going to call me blessed. Hallelujah. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Hallelujah. He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. Hallelujah. I mean, in Bethlehem was the house of bread. Bethlehem, Judah was the house of bread and praise. It was Rachel's burial place was found in Bethlehem. After she died in childbirth, giving birth to the son Benjamin, she wanted to call him Benoni, son of my sorrow. But his daddy said, no, don't you call him Benoni. You call him son of my right hand. Hallelujah. See, people want to call it one thing. God calls it something else. Quit calling it anything other than the blessing of God or what God purposed in your life. Bethlehem was also the place of Ruth and Naomi. It was the birthplace of David. It was the city of David. It was his birthplace, and also because he was anointed king and shepherd there in Bethlehem, the city of David. Hallelujah. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Way down the line from King David, God came to the house, or the prophet Samuel came to the house of David, came to the house of Jesse and said, I'm looking for a man to anoint king. And while they're there to anoint the king, they make all the brothers pass by. What man would have called king material, all passed by the prophet. He said, he's not here, Jesse. I haven't seen him yet. We're not sitting down to eat because God sent me here to anoint a king. He said, I got one other little boy, a shepherd, who's out on the hillside. I can go and get him. He said, go and get him because God told me there's a prophet. God told me there's a king in the house of Jesse, and we're not sitting down to anoint him. And the scripture says, and I love this, the message says, and when David came in, God spoke to Samuel and said, on your feet and anoint him. Get up right now. Get up right now, Samuel, and anoint the next king of Israel. Hallelujah. When God anointed a king, he was looking for a man who had the heart of a shepherd. I mean, in a town of Bethlehem, in the city of David, a new king is born who is of the seed of David, the house and lineage of David, who was to be anointed king. He was a shepherd, and he was a redeemer, a man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. I mean, when God calls somebody, it's always somebody who has the heart of a shepherd, somebody who cares about the sheep. And the first people that the angels came to notify in the field were shepherds who were keeping watch over their flock by night. I mean, there's some shepherds that are hearing from the heavens. It says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And God anointed another king in the house of Bethlehem, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Bitter or blessed. Benoni, son of my right hand. Don't let anybody else call you anything other than what God has purposed for your life. Amen? And even if you don't understand it, even if you can't figure it out in your mind, you just say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And as God works his perfect work in your life, he will bring to pass everything that he has desired and purposed for you. Amen? Anybody ever think that Isaiah might have had a moment when he said, maybe I miss God. Maybe I wasn't hearing from God. But there would come a moment in time when God would fulfill the mouth and the prophecy of Isaiah. And in that babe, in that manger, in a king-size bed, the Savior of the world would come to Bethlehem. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a good season. Amen? It's a good season. Elizabeth said, they called me barren. Naomi said, call me bitter. Mary said, call me blessed. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to take the advice of Mary. I'm just going to say, call me blessed. All nations shall call me blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. All nations shall call me blessed. You have a song, Caleb, that you can do? Pardon? Yeah. All right. Stand with me this morning to your feet. Jesus. While the children are coming, let's just take a moment and thank him this morning for his blessings. Hallelujah. And say to him, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
high.